Hi, I'm Monica Hallan, and this is my podcast, Let's Talk Money. Every Friday, a new episode will drop that gives you a snapshot analysis of one money-related topic that has meaning in your life. And then I answer your money questions. My hope is to put you on the path to financial stability and freedom. So, let's talk money. Today, I'm going to talk about real estate, an asset class I am not very fond of for reasons of liquidity, black money, and high transaction costs. But there's a version of a real estate investment that I do like, and these are called REITs, or Real Estate Investment Trusts. Look at it as a financialized piece of real estate. What is it? Think of it like a mutual fund that invests in real estate. Now, we know that mutual funds are collective investments that invest in equity, debt, gold, silver, and combinations of these assets. Now, think of a collective investment scheme where investors pool their money and the end product that is invested in is real estate. So, how do these work? You must know that REITs in India follow the same three-tier structure that mutual funds follow, which means there is a sponsor or the entity who sets up the business. It's the entity with the business interest. There's a property manager, very much like the asset management company or the AMC in the mutual fund space. And then there is the trustee to ensure that investors get a fair deal and that the sponsor and the manager don't get up to tricks. Plus, there's a ton of SEBI rules to ensure that investors are not cheated. For example, SEBI rules say that REITs can only be in the constructed property space and not invest in land. Another rule says that at least 80% of the investment must be in completed properties. This rule is to avoid what the real estate industry in India is known for: half-finished projects with the promoters either in jail or in London escaping the law of the land. In India, REITs are still mainly in the commercial property part of the market and have been concentrated in the office space area. But in other markets, the scope is much wider. For example, in the UK, REITs extend to malls, hotels, residential properties, and hospitals. So how do you, as an investor, get a return? Well, it's a mix of rent, interest, and capital appreciation from the properties that the REIT invests in. The REIT returns in India are mainly driven by rent and must never be compared to equity for returns. And there are two ways that investors get returns. One, through the sharing of the income that the property manager makes. SEBI rules say that REITs need to give investors 90% of what they earn, and this they must do at least twice a year, and they can do more if they like. Two, since the REITs list on the stock market, investors can also make gains if the net asset value or the price of the listed REIT goes up. So should you be investing? Well, you know, the REIT market is still very new in India and there are very few listed REITs on offer. I would recommend that the high net worth, the HNI investors who are looking for a diversification of their portfolios and want another category that gives debt plus returns or returns that are slightly higher than what a debt product might give, they should be thinking of adding this to their portfolios. A big plus of the product is the liquidity and the transparency in an asset class not known for either of the two attributes. For investors who are new to even mutual funds, I would say wait a bit before you include this in your allocation. Okay, on to questions. This week, I'm taking questions from my women listeners. May, what are the ladies asking?
This one is from Poonam Shah. She asks, I'm writing to you to seek some advice on planning for my retirement. I'm 43 years old, a single mother to a 14-year-old daughter. I joined a full-time job 2 years ago after separating from my husband. I do not have any savings from my married life, and I need to provide for my daughter and myself completely, as there is no support at all from my husband. My annual income is around 8.5 lakhs only.
I'm deeply sorry to hear your story, Poonam. It is a real crisis to be suddenly on your own with nothing to show for the long years of marriage in terms of assets. But you know what? You're 43. You have 20 years of active earning ahead of you, and we are not going to waste those years. You're being forced to begin life again, and I can only say that plunge into it with all the positivity that you can gather and see it as a chance to live life the way you want and bring up your daughter without bitterness and with a desire to stand on her own two feet. Poonam, your income is very low given the need to educate your daughter and build your retirement funds. You need to reskill yourself and move up the income curve to earn more. There is no recourse but to ignite that fire in the belly and do better than what you're doing right now. Motivate your daughter to excel in her studies so she gets scholarships to study further. You have limited means to fund an expensive higher education, and this must be communicated to her very clearly. With whatever you can save, you have to create an emergency fund. You have to buy a pure term life cover with your daughter as the beneficiary. And you need medical insurance for yourself and your daughter. Then, if you have money left, begin your long-term investing with a simple index fund on the Nifty 50 or the Sensex. I recommend that you read my book, Let's Talk Money, to get your basics in place. Or you can work with a good financial planner who will help you with these decisions. Poonam, more than any money advice, it is my message to you that you have to struggle to overcome what is not just an emotional disaster, but a financial one. And I wish you all the courage and luck.
The next question is from Abba Sagar, who hails from Lucknow. She asks, I have been working for the last 10 years, and earlier my father used to do all my investments. I'm now married, and my husband and I want to move to a financial planner. But the moving to a financial planner for my father is providing to be much more difficult than I thought. He is of that old FD and LIC mindset and is deeply suspicious of all new products. How do I handle this without upsetting him?
I always say, May, that it's never about the money, it's about the relationships. And this question really puts it out there, Abha from Lucknow. I can so empathize with you because I have seen so many cases who are in the exact same place as you. It is the financial generation gap that has kicked in. But remember, from your father's point of view, he probably feels that he's protecting you from the products and decisions that he does not understand and therefore feels are unsafe. I'm sure he's coming from a place of pure care to protect you. You know, what I would do is introduce the planner to him and allow the two to have a conversation. I have found that good planners are able to answer all the hard and sometimes unreasonable questions without getting defensive. But if that does not work, then you will need to take control in your hands and take over the management of your own money. And if that decision is to go with the planner, then that is what you should do. Do it gently, with the deepest of affection, explaining why you must. But do take control of your money sooner than later, Abha.
Next, we have Pinky Singh from Chandigarh. She says, I'm a housewife with two kids. My husband is a businessman. I get money from him to run the house, but I have no idea what assets we have. Sometimes I get very insecure about my life. Everything depends on my husband, and usually in business families, not that much is shared with women of the house. I want to start investing on my own, but I don't know where to begin.
Pinky, your story is the story of lakhs of women out there who are in a very similar situation. And this is especially true of business families where women are sometimes kept out of the money discussions. You have no recourse but to educate yourself with some basic financial education, so that you can at least begin the conversation with your husband. Again, I can only tell you that Let's Talk Money, my book, is a great first step to get your basics in place. Next, have a frank discussion with your husband saying that you want to begin managing money and would like some income every month that you can use as you please, both to spend and to save. With these savings, you can start building your own portfolio. And it is also a good idea to begin asking questions on the assets. Is there anything in your name, any property, any stocks, any funds? There is no shame in asking if there are assets in your name. You must find the courage to broach the topic and start participating in the money conversation. Pinky from Chandigarh, I do hope that you're able to make this mental leap from being a bystander to becoming a participant.
The last question we have is from Sarika Lal from Gandhinagar. She says, I met a boy online on a matrimonial site and we've become quite close, chatting and video calling. I've not met him yet, but I feel like he's the right person for me. However, last week, he asked me for money for some loss he suffered on the stock market. He says he has to repay some debts. I feel compelled to rush in with my money, but then I remembered being warned about online frauds by my friend. How should I handle the situation?
It's so scary, May, when you get confronted with questions like this, because this can go so badly wrong. And Sarika, I have just finished watching a compelling series on Amazon Prime called Marriage.con. That's C-O-N. It's about how women are being trapped online by scamsters into losing money. And this is not just a national, but an international crime racket, where they focus on women of marriageable age and on sometimes older women who might be divorced or still single. The fact that you have met online tells me that there's no background check on the family. And this is a big red flag for me. And Sarika, you know, as I get older, I have begun to appreciate the arranged marriage system a little bit more. At least there was an extended family check on the potential partner. With online matrimonial sites, you can get very lucky or very, very unlucky. My advice to you, Sarika, is not to rush in at all with money. And if your refusal to give money causes him to get angry or otherwise show displeasure, walk away. Do a proper background check before you wade in further with this, Sarika. This is a big red flag for me. And that's a wrap for today. I enjoy answering your money questions. Remember, I don't look at individual portfolios. I don't recommend products. Look upon this space as a place to ask strategy questions, doubts, and just basic things that you might not understand. Each time you have a good money outcome, I feel that I have won. To make sure that you don't miss an episode, press follow and help your friends get money smart by sharing a link with them. You can reach out to me at mailme@monicahullin.com. That's Monica with a K. Tag my social media handles @MonicaHullin. And finally, remember that you should have money and money should not have you. So let's talk money again soon. Bye.
Let's Talk Money is hosted by Monica Hullin. This is a Made in India production. Creative Director, May Mariam Thomas. Project Manager, Sean Phantom. Head of Audio Production, Karthik Kulkarni. Producer, Meghna Gulati. Sound Editor, Lakshman Parasuram. Artwork Design by Alika Gupta.